here we are.
Here we are. Back again.
Back again after our Thanksgiving break. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was really good. Yeah. How was yours?
Mine was good too. Good. I was there.
What'd you do? Anything special?
I went to Michigan.
Nice. Me too.
Oh, wow. Went to the Mitten.
Nice.
Had a great time. Drank some coffee. Thankfully, didn't see any crimes or experience any crimes.
Yeah.
So that was good.
That is good. But I'm ready to get back.
Yeah, me too.
To the crime.
I'm excited.
So we hope you all had a nice holiday.
Yes, that's right. Oh, by the way, one of our listeners, Keith Rose, he just got engaged.
Oh, congratulations.
So we just want to say congratulations to Keith Rose.
What is his fiance's name?
I cannot remember.
Oh, okay. Well,
I went to college with him, and everybody always teased him, like, oh man, you know, like every girl wants to have Rose for a last name, provided that she would want to change her
right.
last name. He's now finally.
Well, congratulations to the future Mr. and Mrs. Rose.
Yes, Mrs. Rose.
What if her name was Rose?
What, Rose Rose? Oh yeah, boy, that'd be
cool.
Interesting. We were hearing from some people on our Facebook page, and I wanted to give them a little bit of a shout out. Rachel Aubrey, our friend Rachel, said that she really wanted to, she loved our description of the flavor of the pumpkin spice, pumpkin whipped coffee.
Oh, okay.
So she was nice. Wanting a recipe for that.
Oh,
if
yeah.
we could just post something.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
So we'll try to do that for her.
I said we were going to do that, and then I didn't.
You know, we're busy. We're all busy. But but I was going through our comments, and I found that one from Rachel, so I thought we would do that. Also, Rachel said that, she said, note to self, when disposing of a body, do not use the Mississippi River.
Oh.
That was during the Clint.
Yeah.
The Clint
yeah.
case.
They always get found out.
Wanda weighed in, said she was listening. And we heard from Emily Sheng, our friend Emily, said that we were talking on one of our episodes about coffee related memories. I think I was talking about nostalgia from college. And Emily said that she had a memory of when she was a kid, at her grandma's, I think, there was like a little knickknack coffee grinder that you could grind on the top and then you could pull out this tray and it would have the coffee grounds, and she said she would keep it in her room. Keep the grounds in her room, even though as a little kid she didn't drink coffee, but she just liked the smell of it. So
aww,
that was a memory of hers. And also, Emily said that she enjoyed our taste test with the Dunkin' Donuts and McDonald's. She asked what our thoughts were on flavored K-cups. She said that she has a Keurig, so that's what she drinks every day. And she doesn't add anything to it because it's kind of like ready to go. You know, it's just in the pod there.
Yeah.
She said, is that enough? Is that sacrilege for a coffee connoisseur to use a K-cup? So to prove it's not sacrilege, we made, gotta thank my mom for giving me access to a Keurig machine that, that she, has, yeah, so we,
nice.
Yeah, as you can see, I taped the different names of the coffees on these mugs.
You have quite the smorgasbord.
It is. So we're gonna taste all the coffees. I do want to apologize. I didn't have any cream today.
That's okay.
But we're gonna try them. We've got three different kinds, and we've got a mystery one. Ooh. That you can try to guess where it's from.
This is exciting.
I will, right before we taste these, I want to get into it, but there are a lot of options. So the way that I chose these three were basically just looking on a few blogs and seeing what was popular, and also looking at Amazon reviews, because people buy a lot of this stuff on Amazon, as well as everything else. And so the three that kind of stood out, you know, every list was different. Everybody has their favorites, but one favorite across the board was the Dunkin' Donuts Original Blend Medium Roast. Another one was the Green Mountain. I'm sure if anyone's familiar with Keurig, they're familiar with that. You see that brand a lot. Mm-hmm. And then also Peet's, P-E-E-T-S, out of the West Coast. They are making these things too. So we'll talk about it more in a little bit, but I thought we would start off while the coffee is still steaming a little bit.
Yeah.
We would go in and start tasting. I'm going to take this one that is the Dunkin' Donuts Original Blend.
All right. I'm going to do the Peet's.
All right. Here we go.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers. All right, that's Dunkin' Donuts.
How do you want to do this?
I don't know. We're like, so tell me what you think of the Peet's.
I like it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good. I would definitely drink this.
I don't really like the Dunkin' Donuts.
Well, let me see what you think of this one.
Okay.
Maybe it's just me or...
Okay, so I'm tasting Pete's now and Alexia's tasting Dunkin' Donuts.
We're drinking out of the same cups.
We are. This is not recommended for...
coronavirus yeah. friendly.
No, this Pete's really reminds me of Starbucks.
Yeah, not... I don't really like the Dunkin' Donuts either.
Okay.
It's just, I don't know.
To me, it tastes honestly just a little old.
It's, yeah, there's not a lot of flavor to it.
Yeah, I don't think, I think it might be an issue of shelf yeah. life more than just like the more
this reminds me of the kind bean. Of coffee that might be like at a Days Inn or something, yeah. like in your room.
Yeah, everyone always has their thing. For me, it's gas station. Like, oh, yeah. this tastes like gas station coffee. okay, yeah, I agree. I like the Pete's better, even yeah. though it's a little darker than I like, but yeah. it tastes fresher than the Dunkin' Donuts.
It's a medium roast.
It is, yeah. But I mean, for
yeah,
in the world of like mainstream coffee, usually medium roast is more dark compared to the coffee that you and I usually try.
Right.
But it's not bad. Well, let's give this third one a try. Let's give the Green Mountain a try.
This is the light roast.
This is light roast,
yeah. So maybe you'll like this one.
All right, we're both trying the Green Mountain. I'll need to try one once more after you're done.
Do you have any like tasting notes you can get from that?
Not a fan. I mean, it's just...
I taste like regret and... No, just kidding.
Cynicism.
You know, it's my favorite is definitely the Pete's.
Okay, yeah.
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 For sure.
Yeah, and I think what something at play here just might be freshness. Obviously, these are very, you know, the whole concept with these is it's very convenient. You just like put it in. But I mean, the way these things are packaged individually, the way they're the demand for them. I mean, companies are just cranking these things out because people are going crazy over, you know, it's so convenient. No. So that is a recipe for, you know, not keeping, no grocery store keeps track of the expiration date.
And it's not like they probably don't like pull the old ones forward and
I
do all that
it.
Stuff.
So I might have grabbed
this one. Could have been on the shelf for like 5 years.
Yeah. So to be honest, the Dunkin' Donuts and the Green Mountain don't taste super fresh.
Question for you.
Yeah.
A lot of the coffee companies that we try, you know, they tend to be smaller roasters. Mm-hmm. Do you know of any that actually do K-cups?
No.
Okay. Is it just because it would be just like not cost effective?
Exactly.
Okay.
The workaround, however, is that Keurig also makes an empty pod where you can put your coffee in.
Yeah.
Which I actually tried earlier. I had a little bit of coffee from 3030 in Peoria left, which is high-end sure. coffee. And it didn't do a great job.
Okay.
I think the water was pretty hot.
Okay.
I don't know why else it would have, you know, I had just literally brewed it with my V60, you know, pour over thing earlier that day. Same coffee and it tasted great. It was smooth. It was perfect. And yeah, the machine didn't do a great job with it. So I think for people who are doing third wave upscale coffee, they're going to be sticking with their Chemex pots, their, you know, French presses, whatever they do. But yeah, I mean, Keurig is very super convenient.
Right.
And that's the appeal.
And I've definitely had good Keurig coffee, you know.
Let's try this fourth one, this mystery one. Right. I'll tell you what it is after we try it.
Ooh. Well, let's see. It's in a Holiday Inn cup. It's yeah. Did you get this from the lobby at the Holiday Inn?
I did. Yep.
That is interesting.
Yeah, it's nutty. I can actually taste the nuttiness.
I definitely taste like a citrus.
Oh, citrus. Okay.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Is that a K-cup?
It is, but it's from Aldi. And,
really?
And it's decaf.
What?
Yeah. So, it sort of dropped into my lap at the last minute.
Where'd you get this cup?
It was just in the studio here. I don't know where we got it.
Yikes.
but yeah, Just another random thing, but I really actually like this Aldi coffee.
Yeah, it's actually, it's not bad.
Yeah, and I can taste more in it than in the other coffees for whatever reason. And it's smooth without being too light. Uh-huh. So,
what's it called? What's the...
Donut. I think the donut store. Oh, okay. That's the Aldi way of describing coffee.
Oh, nice.
So what do you think of the... Would you ever get a Keurig? They're not cheap. I think they're a couple $100.
Yeah, I mean, they are a little expensive. You know, I've thought about getting one before just for the convenience, you know, because sometimes you don't want a whole pot of coffee.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, I think that there's probably K-cups that you can buy that are good because I've had them.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
The Peet's, I do like the Peet's.
Yep.
And then Aldi one is not bad either. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I would consider it. Would you ever get one?
I don't think I would. One of the factors is the price. It's really not cheap.
No, and they're like over $100.
Oh no, I'm talking about the actual. Even after you pay between $100 and $200 for the coffee maker, you're also paying between 50 and 60 cents for the pod. Now, the first thing that someone thinks when they hear that might be, "Well, coffee is $2.50, $3 at the coffee shop," and that's true. And when you go there, you're paying for the staff and the building and the experience. You're paying for that company to, you know, bring you coffee in a convenient form. But to compare, this Dunkin' Donuts has 10 pods in it, and you know, so 10 cups of coffee for $6. At the same grocery store that I was at this morning, you can get 12 ounces of ground coffee for $6, and that'll make like 10 pots, which will be four cups. So you're talking 40 cups versus 10 cups. Yeah, and so it's really not cheap.
No.
It's really comparable price-wise to some of the really more highest priced coffee that we've done. I remember we had Onyx Coffee from Arkansas send us a 10-ounce bag that goes for almost $20, and that's only 10 cups, but you're getting like the absolute best of the best coffee from there, you know, for the exact same price as a pod of cheap, you know,
Dunkin' coffee,
which who knows how old it is.
Well, it might be like, if you do have a Keurig or if you want to get one, it might make more sense to get the reusable things and then just buy like a, you know, 12 ounces of coffee at the store, because it would be a lot cheaper.
That's what I would do if I had a Keurig. The other thing too, though, that I wanted to talk about, since I don't have as much to talk about from the company side of this, you know, we're not going to go into the founding of Dunkin' Donuts or Pete's, but although they are actually really interesting stories, we should do that sometime.
Yeah.
However, I wanted to talk about the ritual value of coffee for me. You know, nowadays there's so many things that are convenient. You push a button to do so many things.
Yeah.
You start your coffee maker, start your car, you know, do banking online, order groceries online, especially now with the pandemic and stuff. It's kind of even cornered people. Like, I'm a weirdo and I like walking into the bank and like saying hi to the people that work there, and it takes longer, but it's just
like, you are a weirdo.
It's a human experience, and I value that. And so those things are starting to disappear here and there, because frankly, for a lot of companies, it is more convenient to just have someone go through an ATM machine or like, you know, to just put your checks and, you know, into a bank machine rather than actually talking to a person, rather than walking into a building. And so for me, coffee is this sacred thing that I don't want it to be easy. I really don't.
Interesting.
I think my mornings would be less rich if I were to just push a button and have coffee right away, even if it tasted the same, because I just like taking the time to boil the water in the hot pot, and I like I like rinsing the filter out, and I like getting new filters, and I like going to putting my mask on, going into a coffee shop, saying hi to my friends, you know, getting the whole bean coffee, taking it back, grinding it to the right grind, putting it in there, you know, smelling the, it's this whole thing that for me, and everybody, I hope everybody listening has their own thing, whether it's making bread, even though you could just buy a loaf of it at the store, or whether it's, you know, making bracelets, or whether it's recording music or whatever. But I do think, especially as technology offers more convenience to us, that we really be disciplined about about keeping important rituals in our lives. And for me, that is definitely coffee. I don't want it to be short.
I like that. I think that's a good, like, you know, a
little anecdote before we get into our crime.
That's
nice. So, I told Emily this on our Facebook page. I said, coffee is all about what you want.
Yeah.
If you don't have a lot of time in the morning, which a lot, you know, most of us don't, and you need, and it, you know, saving 3 or 4 or 5 minutes with a Keurig machine,
right,
is something that is like a value for you, then like do it. And then that, obviously that's why this is a very, aggressively growing market, this whole Keurig machine thing.
Yeah.
Then do it. But just, you know, as we start the podcast, like, I hope everybody has something that they do that's just a good human ritual to just slow down, think about your day, and it does, and where you don't just push a button to make something happen.
Right.
Because that's really good for us.
Yeah, it is. That's nice. I like that. I like your thoughts on that. See, I do like to get up and just push a button and have my coffee.
Right. And I'm not saying coffee has to be the thing, but everybody should have something.
Definitely.
Where it's like, I just, you know, I stop and do this every day because this is how I remember that I, you know, that like, how I breathe and how I just feel peace, you know, for a moment.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was watching an interview with a woman who is a cellist, an Icelandic cellist, and she's done very well known stuff for video games and for movies and stuff like that. And someone in the crowd, it was like a panel discussion, and someone in the crowd asked her. They said. And she, it was very funny. She was calling her cellos, different cellos by name, and she was referring to them like as like him and her.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, so very, very kind of like a interesting, extremely artistic person.
Right.
You know, who just, when you're watching the interview, you're like, she's not trying to be weird. She's just, this is her. She thinks of instruments as people because she has a relationship with them. So one of the people in the audience asked, hey, would you ever ask the cellist, they said, would you ever consider working with a company to record your cello playing so that other people can use it digitally and they can make, you know, like you could distributed all around the world and everyone could play cello just like this lady. And she said, no, I would never do that because for me, this is personal and it's something that happens in a room in the moment. And it's a very human experience. And there's no way that could be translated if it was, no matter how good the technology is, which it is good. Like as a musician, I work with digital instruments all the time where real pianos and real violins have had samples recorded and then they've been moved. And so you can just hit a note and then it plays. But she's like, no, you know, that's not, that would destroy the essence of what I'm doing, which is, the whole point of me playing cello is that it's happening here and now and it can never be replicated. It's a unique, organic moment.
Yeah.
So anyway, it really set me off. And that's kind of why I'm waxing eloquent about all this stuff is because I've been thinking lately about how important that is for me to preserve humanity in the everyday when sometimes there are these things that are trying to sort of scrape it away from you.
Yeah, so, especially now, like you mentioned,
because
everything
is,
you know,
it's just
like, especially since, you know, the whole pandemic.
Well, I remember.
Like, how can we make it so no one ever has to look at or touch anybody ever again?
Right. Well, just, I mean, no one ever thought that you would miss seeing someone's face in public.
Right.
You know, maybe some people are glad they don't see other people's
faces. I mean,
there's
people I work with and I started working with them after the pandemic and I have no idea what they look like.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what their faces look like.
Right.
Like if I saw them in public or somewhere without a mask, I wouldn't be able to recognize them.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I don't know. Just a reminder for us all to take time to be human beings.
Yeah.
And for me, that means taking a ridiculously long amount of time to make my coffee in the morning.
Well, that's all right, you know.
Yes.
It is funny that you mentioned the Icelandic cello player.
You have got to be kidding. There's no. always a connection. My goodness.
Man, that's so funny.
Wow.
Yes.
All right, lay it on me.
So, as you may have guessed, we are doing an Icelandic crime.
What? So
yes,
crazy.
I know. And I actually, it's funny because I tried to find an Icelandic crime a couple months ago because we had watched a show.
Right.
It was like a crime show that took place in Iceland.
That was a good show.
It was really good. But I kind of looked into it and I couldn't really find much.
Mm.
I think, you know, that's why they make crime shows because they don't really have it there.
Yeah.
So I had to go back real far.
Really?
Yes. And today we are going to be talking about Bjorn Pettersson.
Wow. Tell me more.
So this crime, this is going to be our oldest one we've ever done.
No way.
In the from the 1500s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, I can't wait.
Yeah. It's an interesting one.
Okay.
Okay, so Bjorn Pettersson, he was born in Iceland in 1555.
Okay.
So this is almost 500 years ago, 450
wow.
years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So his parents were farmers, and before he was born, they had had two other children. So he had two older siblings. Now his mother, Sigridur. These names are very difficult.
I love that name, Sigridur.
Sigridur. When she was pregnant with Bjorn, she had a very interesting craving. It was human blood.
What?
So,
I mean, if a pregnant woman wants something, I think you should just try to.
That's,
you know,
what her husband
deliver
said.
Deliver it to her, yeah.
Because, you know, he loved his wife, and because of that, he let her drink his blood.
Ooh.
Now, I don't know how.
Did she want it with pickles or ice cream, or was it just on its own?
I don't know. It didn't say.
Oh, okay.
But I feel like, you know, if you mix it with something, it might lose like the blood flavor that you're after.
Yeah, that real the hemoglobin notes.
Yeah, so maybe she just, you know, drank it straight. So because of this craving and because she was having these really horrific, indescribable dreams, she told people that she was afraid that her baby would be some kind of monster.
Mm.
So this was a fear that she had when she was pregnant. So her son Bjorn was born. And Bjorn was born. So he grew up on the farm. He grew up in Oxel. I think that's how you say it. Oxel, west of Badur in like Snæfellsnes.
Okay, you're doing your best. I just cheer you
on. I'm doing
my
best. I was actually going to look up this word because I didn't know how to pronounce it, but I forgot to do that. So, and that is a peninsula located in western Iceland.
Yeah.
And like I said, the Icelandic language is really interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't realize that they have like a kind of a different alphabet.
Mm.
There were some letters that I've never
seen
before.
You can't make Roman, you know, equivalents. Yeah.
So, you know, I had to do a little Google translation for some of the words. But so from a young age, you could say Bjorn's mother's fears kind of came true because he was a naughty little monster.
Well, I mean, terrible twos.
I mean, how
bad can it get?
I mean, it got kind of out of hand, and, you know, you'll see. But, you know, he was typically pretty out of control and difficult. So in 1570, at the age of 15, he moved to the farm of a man named Ormer Thorleifsson.
You're doing great.
Thanks. His name was Ormer Thorleifsson the Rich.
Ah, yes. I like it. I like that part in history where they just, whatever you were known for, they tacked that on.
How would you like to be Louis Knutsen the Rich?
Yeah, I've been trying. It's just not sticking. I present myself that way, and I just don't.
Maybe one day.
Yeah.
So he had made a deal with Bjorn's father that Bjorn would work for him in exchange for room and board.
Okay.
And I think because Bjorn was such a little creep, his father was like, you know, out you go.
Yeah, okay.
You can have him.
Right.
So Ormer had a son who was Bjorn's age named Gudmundur.
Okay.
So that was nice. You know, they became friends and they had somebody to hang out with. So one day not long after Bjorn moved to the farm, he decided to skip out on going to church and take a nap instead.
Ooh.
Classic Bjorn. So while he was sleeping, he had a dream that a strange man brought him a plate of meat and told him to eat it.
Don't eat it.
So Bjorn is, I mean, of course, Bjorn is dreaming, but yep. In his dream, he starts eating the meat. And mm-hmm. He's eating it. And he ends up eating 19 pieces and he feels sick.
Okay.
So he can't eat anymore. And then the man told him to go to the top of a nearby mountain called Axlarna.
Okay.
Axlarna. And there he would find an object that would make him famous. So, you know, this 15-year-old Bjorn was like, heck yeah, I want to be famous. So the next day he went to this mountain and he found an axe.
Mm.
But how could an axe make someone famous?
I can think of one way.
Could chop make someone, wood. Yeah. You're the best wood chopper in the world.
At least in Iceland.
Yeah. So shortly after this happened, after Bjorn went and found the axe, it was reported that a teen farmhand named Mylarger had gone missing. So weeks went by with no word from him. So Ormur assumed that he had gone back to live with his family on the countryside to take care of his ailing mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, okay, I guess he left.
Yeah, happened a lot back then.
Yeah, I mean, and you didn't really have, you know, it's not like you could text somebody and be like, hey, where you at?
Yeah, exactly. You know,
it would take probably months to get a message there, and then
right,
yeah. So Bjorn continued to work for Ormur for several years, and eventually Ormur passed away and left his farm to his son Gudmundur.
Okay.
That's a hard name.
I think you just gotta own it. You're doing a
Gudmundur.
Great job. Yeah, there you
okay.
go.
There we go. So after his father had passed away, Gudmundur gave Bjorn a beautiful farm.
Wow. And whole farm?
Yeah. A really beautiful, nice farm.
Wow.
Because, you know, they were friends and, you know, his dad had all this property and money and stuff.
Yeah.
So Bjorn moved there with his wife, Thordis.
Oh, he was married.
Yes. At this point, he was married. I don't know when he got married, but between the time he moved to the farm and the time that the guy gave him the farm, he got married at some point.
Okay.
So it's
her name was Thornis?
Thordis.
Thordis. These names are really cool. I feel like hipsters should start naming their kids these names if they haven't already.
They might. Yeah. The name Bjorn is pretty cool.
That is really cool, yeah.
Bjorn. Thordis. Although Thordis, the first letter of it is a weird letter that I don't know.
Does it have a circle over it?
It looks like this. And I'm doing like a line with kind of like a circle in the middle of it.
Yeah.
On the side.
Like a Greek row or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah. It looks like a P, kind of.
Yeah.
Like I thought it was Portis.
Portis.
But then I looked up the sound and it's actually pronounced.
Boy, you really did your research with this pronunciation.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't want to sound like an idiot.
You don't. Okay. Thordis.
Okay. So it's unknown how many children they had, but I know that they had at least one son.
Okay.
So the couple worked hard to maintain the farm, and Bjorn eventually earned the nickname Axlar Bjorn, which translates to shoulder bear.
Hmm.
I'm not sure if that's because he was
strong. So Bjorn
means
bear?
Yeah.
And Axlar is
yes.
his shoulder. Okay.
So maybe he was strong. Maybe he was, I don't know.
Maybe he shrugged a lot.
Although Axlar, that was part of the name of the mountain. So maybe it's just because he lived near it. That makes
Bjorn
sense.
Bjorn of Axlar. Yeah.
Bjorn. You say because he shrugged a lot.
Yeah. You're going, I don't know.
It's really funny. The beautiful piece of farmland that they lived on, him and his wife, attracted a lot of attention from travelers looking for a place to stay, as well as farmhands looking for work.
Hmm.
So people were traveling through and they saw a nice farm and they were like, oh, I guess
Airbnb.
people did that in those days.
Airbnb Bjorn.
Yeah, Airbnb Bjorn. Hey, can we stay here?
That's,
whatever.
Yeah, that's funny to think about.
Yeah, I don't know. So Bjorn and his wife took in many people over the years, but they always seemed to disappear after a while.
Really? All of them?
Yeah, a lot of them, yeah.
Whoa.
So they would leave. They would disappear without a trace, but they always seemed to leave their possessions behind.
How funny.
They would leave their horses,
oh,
their
yeah.
clothing, and other valuables.
Wow.
And so Bjorn would, you know, just collect their horses, keep them in his stable, wear their clothes.
You would shrug and say, well, I don't know. They're not going to use it.
No. I don't know what happened. It was said that Bjorn was a very depressed man, and he always seemed to have a dark cloud over him. Hmm. And he was kind of like a buzzkill,
okay,
people would say. He was always like kind of like, man, today,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Everything is terrible. Yeah. So, you know, maybe people thought that the farmhands and stuff just got sick of being around him.
Hmm.
You know, Bjorn's a real Debbie Downer, and they just, you know, left because they couldn't deal with him anymore. But over the years, there were a lot of whispers amongst the townspeople because they had a bad feeling about Bjorn and his wife. Something was just not quite right.
Hmm.
But he always, Bjorn always kind of like had this protection from Gudmundur. You know, he was rich. He had friends in high places. So people kind of looked the other way. Mm-hmm. Like, he's connected with this powerful person. Like, whatever. I'm sure everything is fine.
Yeah.
Nothing to see here. So in 1596, when Bjorn was in his early 40s, and actually, what I'm going to tell you next, there's a couple different stories. So it's not known which one of these is true, but, or maybe they both are.
Okay.
I don't know. But there were a couple different, there were a few different, you know, things that could have happened. I mean, it was a long time ago. So you're kind of relying on people passing things down.
Right.
But so in 1596, a woman came to live on Bjorn's farm. She was poor and she had three children to take care of. So, you know, him and his wife took her in. But one night Bjorn lured away the children and murdered all three of them. And the mother was able to escape. So she escaped and alerted the authorities.
Oh, wow.
But the other story says that a brother and sister came to stay, and Bjorn murdered the sister with an axe, but the brother escaped and told the authorities.
Okay.
So we don't know, like, how they actually found out about this.
But something...
Something happened that...
For the first time, he killed someone with an escaped, where someone survived.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
That is right. So, Bjorn was arrested immediately.
Really?
Once the authorities...
Despite his connections. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I guess...
Good to know that
Gudmundur couldn't,
good,
you know...
Good justice system there.
Yeah, and I don't really... You know, it's just like the authorities. I don't really know who the authorities were.
Yeah, it's hard like to imagine what that would have been.
King's knaves or something.
Yeah.
There was, like, their government or, like, their court system was a... It was just called, like, a governing assembly.
Okay.
So, whatever that was. It was actually called a thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's actually, that was a thing.
Yeah, it was a thing. when questioned about this, although I wonder if these days it wasn't so much questioning as it was like maybe torturing.
Oh.
To get some kind of a confession.
Yeah.
I don't know. But he ended up confessing to murdering 9 people.
Okay.
Either by drowning them in the river or by dismembering them with his axe.
Okay.
Including Mylager, the young farmhand who had gone missing when Bjorn was just 15 years old.
Wow.
So at 15, he committed his first murder.
With the axe,
axe
I imagine?
That was going to make him famous.
Famous,
yes.
Yeah.
So he admitted to burying Mylager's body in a dung heap and many of the other bodies in a lava field nearby.
And no one found them.
No.
Wow.
Although the authorities ended up going to his farm and searched his property, and they found tons of human remains, which suggested that Bjorn had killed more like 18 people.
Wow.
So when they asked him about it, Bjorn said that he kept finding dead bodies all over his farm.
Oh.
He just shrugged and was like, he said that he just buried them because he didn't know what to do with them. But the authorities, you know, they weren't buying it.
Yeah.
So he and his wife were both arrested because they...
she was viewed as implicit or complicit.
Yes, they thought that she helped him commit the murders.
Mm.
And I don't know if there was like proof of that, but medieval times, so...
You know, you kind of get lumped in with your husband's
doings. Yeah, exactly. So in medieval fashion, there was no trial.
Mm.
And Bjorn and his wife were both arrested and sentenced to death.
Wow. By?
Well... Yeah, I'll tell you about that because it's quite horrific.
The story is not over, I take it.
The story is not over. So, it's almost over, but not quite over. So Thordis did not end up being executed because she was pregnant with their son, Svein, at the time.
Hmm.
So they ended up not executing her.
At all?
No. Hmm. Although she was forced to watch Bjorn's execution.
Oh, man.
And it was a gruesome execution.
So I take it they gave him an execution to try to dissuade other people in the village from doing similar things. Like, this is famous, but not in a good way.
Right.
I without you saying anything, I'm kind of gathering that that's the kind of execution, making you an example.
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah, because all of his limbs were broken on the wheel. Do you know what the wheel is? Oh,
yeah, I've seen one.
Yeah. So they broke all of his limbs.
Explain for our listeners. Well,
as far as I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like a big heavy wheel, and they just like slam it down on you to break your limbs. Is that right?
Sounds about right. Yeah.
So they broke his legs, probably in like several places, then his arms.
Oh man, can you imagine the pain?
No. Wow. And then he was beheaded. And then, because he was so terrible, they thought that he might like somehow come back alive. Like, put his head back on and, you know, terrorize the town.
Yeah.
They ended up cutting up his body in many pieces and burying him in 3 different locations.
Right.
So they wanted to make sure he was not coming back.
Yeah. I don't know if Christianity would have come to Iceland at this time or not.
I think it had because he...
You said church. Yeah, I didn't know. Okay.
Because he, you know...
With the idea of the resurrection, it used to be thought that burying someone in the ground was like basically putting them in a convenient place to be like for the bodily resurrection. But that's the reason why anyone who was like by the church who was basically condemned by the church. They would be burned and their ashes would be sprinkled in a body of water. In other words, saying like this person can't be, even if so, it kind of sounds like that.
I think that's what they were doing.
It's like this person is not going to be resurrected. No. We're going to do our darndest to keep them. That's so definitely grisly.
Not. Yeah.
What a way to die.
Yeah. So really, really, that's definitely the most gruesome execution that we've talked about.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, the executions that we talk about are all like in the modern day, like lethal injection or something.
Exactly. So his son, Sven Bjornsson, grew up to be a rapist.
Wow.
I guess it was just in the genes. He ended up being hung in 1648 at the age of 51 for his raping.
Wow. Did he have any kids?
He did.
Oh, great.
He had a son named Gisli Svensson.
Oh, no.
Who also grew up to be a criminal. And he was executed as well.
Oh, my gosh. When is it going to start? I feel like you're about to say, and, and today... At large is the great, great, great.
Gislason. So it would be interesting to see and I didn't find this, but to see if like there's any modern day descendants of these people.
If there are, they probably have changed their name significantly.
But names are always changed because of the...
Oh, because of the Icelandic tradition. Okay, yeah. Okay.
So it'd be easy to
it would.
Maybe go unnoticed.
Right.
And to this day, Axlar Bjorn is known as Iceland's only serial killer.
Really?
Yeah.
That's how little crime there is.
Yeah,
Iceland.
And it's interesting because
I think... Well, there aren't very many people either.
No. But. The show that we watched, though, wasn't that about someone committing, like, serial murders?
Yes. Yes.
So it's kind of funny because, like, according to this, they haven't had one since the 1500s.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
What's your source for this story?
Several different articles written about it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah. So I think the moral of the story is don't skip church.
Skip church one day and all that happened.
I mean, because that's when he had that dream. Right. And then if he had just gone to church.
Man, that's...
If you don't want to be put on the wheel, kids, go to church.
I am surprised that a story that old was preserved so well.
Yeah, and
most even like 200 years ago, it seems like it's hard to tell. It's hard to find facts. It's hard to like get a whole story, and you really found the whole story right. with that. Yeah.
But if you think about it, like you said, I mean, there are so few people in Iceland, and this right. is such a rare so thing to happen.
They would have told this story. Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel like something like this would have been like everybody's talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, passing and it down and
like
everything.
Traders that go from Iceland to other countries like tell their friends and, you know,
yeah.
In Gaul,
yeah,
about the Bjorn Axlar, the Iceland serial killer.
Yeah,
yeah.
It would be interesting European to go to gossip. Iceland.
It would be. That's kind of like the cool place to yeah. visit nowadays. Apparently,
I would like to go there.
I would really like to go. You can see the Northern Lights, which has always been my dream.
Maybe one day if we're ever allowed to travel again.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking, I kept meaning to mention this. We have. Speaking of murder and stuff like that, we have a musical artist whose music we've been using as our bumper music for the podcast ever yeah. since we started. The name of the group is Blue Knu, B-L-U-K-N-U. And so you can find the whole, this the darn, yeah. that music that starts our show every week is actually from a song called Sledgehammer.
Oh, and perfect.
And so it's this yeah. whole, it's this kind of a concept album about a murder, among other things. But anyway, anyone who has access to music on any streaming platform can find it. And so that is where our music comes from, yeah. in case anyone was ever curious
so
about
that. So definitely check out that album.
Yes.
I have heard it. It's really good. yeah. So if you want to hear the full version of that song or any of the other
That's right. Yep.
songs by Blue Knu.
B-L-U-K-N-U. We'll put a link in the description
okay.
so people can
yeah,
find
that.
Yeah,
that sounds good. Perfect.
Any other anecdotes about Bjorn Axel? What? Axelson?
Axlar Bjorn.
Axlar Bjorn, sorry.
His name was Bjorn Pettersson.
That's right.
I'm assuming his father's name was Petter.
Petter, yeah. Or maybe Petter is the word for father. It kind of sounds like.
Oh, yeah. I wonder what his father was like.
Hmm. Yeah.
Not much is said about the father except that he would let his wife drink his blood. So maybe he was a little crazy. Hmm.
Yeah, it sounds like the stage was set for some weird stuff yeah, to happen in Iceland yeah. once she started doing that.
I mean, I feel like Iceland in the 1500s was probably just kind of a weird place anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I would imagine.
I don't know.
Pretty cryptic, probably. Yeah. Pretty, you know, not a lot of amenities.
Yeah.
Definitely no Keurig makers.
Definitely not. They had to drink their coffee the old-fashioned way, the yeah. way you like to drink
yes.
it.
Yes, rice.
Right. So, yeah, no, I think that's pretty much everything that I have. I was trying to think of anything else. But, yeah, no, I think that's about it. Do you have any last thoughts about... you know, any questions or concerns? What was the show that we watched that was took place in Iceland?
I think it was called Case.
Yes, that's right. Was it The Case or just Case?
I think just Case.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we've talked about it on the show
I
before,
think so,
but
yeah.
there's this whole genre of music called Scandi Noir or Nordic Noir. And the whole genre is just any... like a crime drama.
You
based,
mean like TV shows?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah TV shows. Crime shows based in the Scandinavia. You know,
right?
And there are a lot. I didn't realize till this year that how many there were. So
yeah, and they're good. They're always really
yeah.
good.
The acting's very good, and it's kind of fun sometimes to watch it in the foreign language. I know for the Scandinavian one, there was no overdubbing, or for the Icelandic one, there was no overdub. So we were hearing the language of the Icelandic language
right.
and then watching the subtitles, which is always, I always enjoy that. Kind of getting to know what a different language sounds like
right.
while you're watching.
Yeah.
But, yeah, wow. Well, thank you for bringing our crime today. After the past couple of weeks, I realized how hard it was to do homework
well,
for our crime.
I mean, you did a very thorough job with our most recent podcast.
Yeah. And I'm ready to retire for a while.
Yeah.
It was a lot.
I know, but yeah. You did a great job, and thank you for doing all this today with the Keurig coffee.
Yes, as always, everybody, leave comments in the Facebook page if you have any feedback for us, what kind of flavors or brands of
Keurig cups
that you like, and We will see you next week.
And we will take our coffee
with crime.